And the reason for that is probably it was a lack of maturity. Not like in high school you're taught how to set like these very, very clear goals. And but besides the maturity factor, you guys didn't know what the set goals were about. I mean, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. It's like I come and I tell you, you know, I'm going to teach you a new game called, you know, Waka Waka. So would you like to learn how to play? And you say yes. And you say, what are your goals in the game of Waka Waka? And you say, well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. So first explain to you what it is, and I can talk to you about my goals. So when you guys came here, I'm going to imagine most of you, you had some general goals. I want to learn better. I want to become sharper. I want to be more serious. I want to be whatever. But bottom line is, you really, in the beginning of this year, you really couldn't set any specific kind of goal. But now, since you've had immersion for a year, so now you can actually come and say, I'm ready to set specific goals. And your success in the year is going to be largely dependent on your ability to set the goals before you come here, not when you come here, before you come there, and your ability to follow through with the goals. And every person's goal is going to be different. Don't look at other people. Look at yourself. Ask yourself, what are my goals for the half a year or to a year or whatever that I'm going to be here? It's very, very important to set the goals, and it's very, very important to monitor when you're meeting the goals. Whether it's every week, whether it's a few times a month, you ask yourself, am I meeting my goals? If yes, yes. If no, no. And if no, why not? The key is goals. You have to set goals. Without that, you will not be able to be successful. That's number one. We've heard about that in Rabbi Schneider book that we already, the ones who already read. Key is about goals. If you're able to successfully make goals, good goals, realistic goals, goals that challenge you, that don't break you, and you're able to follow through with the goals, you'll succeed. Number two, Kesher with the Rabbi. You will find a very, very frustrating phenomenon next year, I guarantee you. And that is the relationship with the Rebbe. This yeshiva only has like two or three Rebbeim who are designated as Shadabet Rebbeim. Willig, David, Goldschmidt. But bottom line is, this yeshiva is like a Shana Aleph focused yeshiva. And this year, you got the better end of that. And you guys had a close kesher with a Shana Aleph Rebbe. But next year, the focus, even if you were very close to the Rebbe, with Shana Aleph Rebbe this year, next year, the focus of that Rebbe will not be on you. It'll be on the Shana Aleph guys in front of him. It'll be a unique challenge. So if you really make a kesher, an incredible kesher with a Shana Aleph Rebbe, amazing. But not everyone connects to everyone. So the challenge is going to be to make sharim with a Shana Aleph Rebbe, but at the same time, to try to figure out how to successfully keep make sharim with other Rebbeim who are not focused on Shana Aleph Rebbe. It's difficult. Because the Rebbeim who used to give you hours upon and hours of time won't be able to do that anymore because you're not in their shir. And their ikar focus, you know, better or for worse, but that's just the reality of the yeshiva, is not on you. And it's a little bit sad and a little frustrating. Anyone who ever saw Star Wars, was it like the third episode, or which is really the sixth episode, whatever, it's really confusing. You know that you have Anakin who like walks in and he sees a new generation of Jedi warriors being trained. He's so jealous. He really wants to be there because he remembers how good he was to be trained by his master. But the master is now focusing on the young kids. And it's frustrating, it's difficult, and everyone kind of goes through this thing, you know, this process. We're like, well, I want the Rebbe to give me that attention. He used to give me that attention. But the nature of the beast is that you have to get used to that the focus of the attention of many Rebbeim will not be on you. So if you want to develop, you almost have to like recreate, I don't want to say from scratch, it's not only from scratch, but you have to develop now a different relationship with your Rebbe. It's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be frustrating, but you have to do it. It's very, very important. So we spoke about goals, we spoke about Seder, and we spoke about the Rebbeim. Again, the Rebbeim are, a lot of the Rebbeim that gave you a ton of their time will not do that next year. So it's really going to be up to you to initiate. I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know if you've seen yet, there's a lot of programs that have been planned for Shana Bet. It's really going to be amazing. And there are going to be opportunities for you, but bottom line is, if you really want to close kesher with the Rebbe, you have to initiate it. This is not, you know, this is not Shana Aleph. It's like someone's going to come and find you, look after you. You're going to have to initiate a lot of things yourself. Summer. So you've heard a little bit about the summer, hopefully. There was once when I was a kid, there was like one of these comedy skits. And there was a track coach. This track coach was standing up, and there was like all these kids, it's the first day of the season, and he said, guys, our goal is to become very fast. All of track is becoming very fast. I told you during the off season to become very fast. So this like very, very heavy kid, like really humongous kid, like raises his head. Coach. He says, yes, Bobby. I thought you told us to become very fat. I says, no! I told you to become very fast! And the kid is like, shoot. Okay, the goal of the summer is not to become very fat. It's to become very fast. What that means is, and anyone who's been following the NBA playoffs realizes that basically the yisod, particularly of this year, is about one athlete who doesn't know the concept of off-season, who didn't know the concept of official practice. This is the person who gets up at 5:30 in the morning, summertime, year time, and he trains, and he wins a championship. So summertime is not the time to become fat, it's to become fast. What that means is that when you guys arrive here, this is not, again, this is not Shana, guys, this is a totally different ballgame altogether. Your all systems are ready to go. And there's no babying, there's no more cuddling, there's no more, you know, take it slow. Many of you guys are rooming for half a year. Half a year, year goes by fast. Half a year like this, it's gone. If you're not clear what you're trying to accomplish, you're going to miss everything. When you're here, you have to start from day one. And in order for you to start from day one, you have to have a particular kind of summer. We have this idea in Judaism that everything begins with a chana. There was a couple who just had a baby. They came to a certain rabbi. They said, we want to have eight sisters. How do we begin training the baby? He said, you're too late. So what do you mean? He says, the training of a child starts when you get married. Of course you can still teach your child, but bottom line, the beginning had to come early. Successful day doesn't begin in the morning. It doesn't begin when you wake up. It doesn't begin when you get out of bed. It begins when you decide to go to bed on time the night before. Because the moment you decide not to go to bed on time, that means that your day is already ruined. You can still salvage it, you can make the best of it, but it's not going to be the same day as it could have been. So if you come here already from day one, you'll have a totally different year. If you come here, you kind of didn't open up the Gemara during the whole summer, kind of bummed around, you did things that are major, major distractions. So that's the kind of year you're going to have. By the time you're going to get your head into it, it's all going to be already a break, it's going to be the Chagim, you're going to be back and forth in the year's time. You have to shape your summer in a way you can come here ready to go right away. That doesn't mean you're supposed to learn all day. It's some kind of a balance where all of your physical, psychological, and spiritual needs are met, that you come here ready. Not that you come here and you have so much from your mind and your learning muscles are so completely out of tone. You have to train. Again, maybe not as hard as you do during the year, but you have to train. And again, large part of your success is going to be dependent on what you do during the summer. Again, you have to have a summer that's responsible. There's plenty of rest and plenty of fun and plenty of doing other things, but at the same time, you come here and it's not, oh boy, I haven't jogged in 3 months. It can't be like that. The Lakers lost when Shaq came into training camp fat. Okay? That's how it goes. You have to come here, you have to be ready to go. Just some practical things. We spoke about, keeping a Seder, doing things that are appropriate. In terms of specifics, I hope you appreciate this for a second. You guys came here to learn Yiddish. So you have a Mishnah, the Fanei Nechta, you guys probably thought it was fine, unless you learned Yiddish before. And by the time you got Bein Yanin, it was like a few months already. And then finally, slowly things began to fall together. It doesn't have to be that way. I had a person who was mashpia a lot on me. He was an avreich in yeshiva when I was Shana Aleph in Eretz Yisrael. He told me that before Elul started, he had seen all the gemaras that they were going to do that zman and all the rishonim. And he came to shir just to see how the Rebbe put it all together. Now that's a big goal. And it's not a realistic goal for probably anyone here. But it's certainly very realistic to come here and learn Mishnah's Bava Basra to at least know b'chlal what Bava Basra talks about. Certainly you could do the parak of Mishnah if you're going to be learning the third parak of the Yom, Bezos HaShem. So at least you've seen that those Mishnahs. may not be a bad idea. I spoke to Rabbi Willick, I spoke to Rabbi David, chance are you guys going to be in one of those two shiurim. I asked him, do you think it's a good idea for the guys to do 5, 10, 15 lot of the third pair of the kids? And they said, amazing. So you're going to come, you're actually going to know what Baba Basra talks about. So it's not a chiyum, but it may not be a bad idea to come here ready to learn Baba Basra. Have done third parak of Baba Basra, all of Mishnayos of Baba Basra, your chance are you're not going to build the Gemara, the parents have 30 lot. But if you have done 5 lot, at least in the beginning, because a lot of the parak works off each other, certainly the first like 10, 15 lot are working off each other. It's like Gittin, you know, in order to understand Dav Beis Amud Aleph, you have to know Dav Samach Amud Aleph. So the more Gemara you know, the more you'll just jump in right away, you'll know what the Rishonim are talking about. I asked my Rebbe once, what's the difference between Rishon and Achronim? And he answered, a Rishon never writes a letter, never puts ink to paper without having thought about all the Gemaras that are relevant to what he's writing. So, for you know, you're going to read a Rashba that's referring to some Gemara Baba Basra, you don't even know what the Gemara is, you don't know the concepts. But if you have gone through the Mishnayos, and you've gone through the Kahat, you get familiarized with some of the terms, and maybe you did some of the Gemaras, you get your feet wet, you're going to have a totally different year. So it's something just to think about. Summers are a time of preparation, and practically speaking, you may want to start a little bit on Baba Basra. We spoke about goals. You have to have goals, you have to set goals, you have to follow through with goals, you have to check whether you're following goals. We spoke about the Kesher with the Rebbe, the new challenges of a Shana Bet guy making a Kesher with the Rebbe, and we spoke about the summer preparation. All these things are really clutch issues. In terms of independence and responsibility, this is a big chiddush. This is a big difference between Shana Aleph and Shana Bet. Chovas Sefer, Chovas HaTalmidim, the P.S.S. Meir writes, the goal of chinuch, the goal of education is one thing, and that's independence. The goal of the teacher is to make you guys independent. He quotes the pasuk, Chanoch Lanar Al Pi Darko, teach, guide, instruct a youth according to his way, his unique way. Gam Ki Yaskin Lo Yasur Mimena. Even when he's old, he's not going to leave it. You know, my goal with my children is that they do their homework even if I don't tell them. That they make a bracha even if I'm not watching. Because at some point, you know, and at this age and time, it's very, very young age, kids kind of stop listening to parents. But at 18 and 19, 17 and 15, I'm not going to be around to watch my kids make a bracha. I have to show them my brachas are important. Shana Bet, I think one of the main elements is independence. I'll tell you, I went to graduate school for education. And I took a full semester course on something called classroom management. You know, classroom management is a euphemism. It's just a nice way of saying dealing with terrible, rotten kids who don't want to do anything. Okay? That's bottom line what the whole class was all about. Remember, we all, as aspiring young teachers, you know, we had this mystery that we've been wondering about for a long time, and that is, how do you succeed as a substitute teacher? Because everybody knows, that is what's a beat them up alive. You walk in as a substitute, they like size you up, and you know you're done. Right? So we said the professor was in his 60s and his 70s. This is a person who had like 50 years of education under his belt. So certainly he had the answer of to resolve a problem that teachers have been wondering about for the last 1,000 years. So he told us, don't worry, I'll talk to you about it at the end of the class once you've grown in your abilities of to engage in classroom management. So I'll teach you how to do it. So the end of the semester came, so he said, Moon, Professor Pellis, he said, after all the research and all the studies, we have discovered there's only one solution to the substitute problem, and that is never become one. There are no answers. There are no answers. There's no answer. They will eat you up alive. It doesn't matter who you are. Don't take the job. It's a terrible. And you know, it's better than anything. It's like some people do this for a living. I know people who are like substitutes for a living. Yeah. The life expectancy is like 43. Bottom line is, in Shana Bet, the Rebbeim should not have to pull out their notes from classroom management. So even in Shana Aleph, once in a while, they have to, you know, figure out how to classroom manage, make sure that people are on task and involved. In Shana Bet, it's b'chlal not shaya. It's not shaya. There has to be a certain level of maturity, a certain level of responsibility that's it's not necessary anymore. You know, now your Rebbe has to give you marem komos. And you go through, you do it, you check, and you run out of marem komos. And you just sit there because you don't really know what else to do. It's not Shana Bet. Shana Bet, you get marmakos, you get marmakos. If you ran out of things to do, you learn independently. Like, what's the question? You go on in the Gemara, you try to to Chazara. You don't have to be told anymore what to do. Be free. Be independent. Our goal in yeshiva is to make you guys not need us. That's the goal. We don't want... There was another skit when I was a kid. There was like a mom and a kid on the subway. The kid was like 30 years old. But they were still connected with an umbilical cord. Because like she could never get herself to cut it. So whenever he would misbehave, she would like grab like this and like choke his hair off, you know. We don't want to have you guys in Gokor. Be free. Don't need us. Like, do your own stuff. So in Chanabat, there's no more babying, no more us having to tell you what to do. There's a beautiful passage in Yisos Yisharim. It says that when it comes to a loving relationship, you don't have to be always told what to do. You know, I come home and my wife is really tired. It's not my job to do the dishes. My wife doesn't know. Come on, all the dishes. Come home, and my wife says, "My sweetheart, I'm really tired. Do you mind doing the dishes?" And I say, wait a second. I go over to the office, I open up the file with important documents, and I pull out the suga. I say, no, I'm sorry, it's just not a suga. Try again tomorrow. Okay? It's not a mitzvah. So that's terrible. Any husband who follows the rules to the letter is a bad husband. And if you think about all the halachas of marriage in Ibn Hazm and Shulchan Aruch, that's when things are bad. You know, heals this, you know, you learn in Gittin. Heals her from Masay Yadeha, you know, this back and forth. I was joking with my wife the other day. I asked her to make me a cup of tea. In a special halacha that the husband gets to eat the peiros that the wife brings with her into the field. And in exchange, if she gets kidnapped, he has to redeem her. If she can't just like leave her and get herself another life. So I asked her for a cup of tea, but she was really busy. She forgot to bring a cup of tea, so I had to get up and I had to make her a cup of tea. I said to her, if Ethiopian or Somali pirates ever kidnap you, don't expect me to be told to you. This is not going to happen. You didn't give me tea? I'm sorry. So that's a joke. It's okay. But, you know, that's for real. It's kind of bad. So the goal in a loving relationship is to show you don't have to be asked what to do. You intuit what you need to be doing. So your wife asks you to do something, and you realize that she's really asking you something totally different, or she's asking something more. So with HaKadosh Baruch also, at some point, you don't just say, well, do I have to do this? I don't have to do this. You have to at some point intuit, well, what would HaKadosh Baruch want me to do? Even though it's not an obligation, it's not a siman l'shulchan aruch, that's what would HaKadosh Baruch want me to do? I once asked... I was learning in Merkaz Arav, great yeshiva in Merkaz Arav. The Rosh Yeshiva, which passed away the past few years, was Avram Shapiro. He was a massive gadol, such as a huge Talmud Chacham, one of the biggest gadolim in Eretz Yisrael. I came to ask him a shayla about something. I don't know what it was. So he says, it's mutter. But sometimes, he says to me, you have to ask what the Chofetz Chaim does. And if the Chofetz Chaim wouldn't do this, you should think twice about it. So not everything, you know, has to be Ikar Hadin. So when it comes to Shana Bet, I think that's a very, very healthy attitude. Shana Aleph, you do the minimal, or maybe a little bit more, and then, you know, you go on with your life. But in Shana Bet, the attitude has to be very, very different. I was telling a number of guys, you know, you have the Bekiyas Blitz, and you have afternoon Limud, we today are going to do so many da'af. Then we're going to do 10 da'af and then the chas. I'm done with the 10 da'af. What do you do? It's like high school. You know, kick back with your feet on the table. I'm done with my tadaf. You know, let's see what I can do. There's no tadaf. You just learn. You finished, you learn more. You finished your assignment, you learn more. I once heard, I read from a number of places, yeshivas are great, but yeshivas are also bad. Yeshivas are good because they have a structure and they guide you. Yeshivas are bad because they also limit you. Like, okay, I'm done with the Marma Kolos. I took the Bechina. So what? So keep going. Rebels, I don't know if you realized this here, but I hope you did. There's a big Torah out there. Big Torah. So Rav Cohen, did Cohen come and speak this year? Rav Cohen is a great Baal Musar from YU. He's like a real, real Baal Musar. So he came to speak here like 2 years ago. So he said, you have to just picture it. He's huge man with these humongous hands, with a long gray beard, like really intimidating looking person. He said, you boys would love to get a picture with a babe Ruth. You know, you and the babe, you babe. He says, oh, you know what I have a picture of? Maseches Brachos on one side, Maseches Zvachim on the other. Brachos, Zvachim, me. Zvachim, very big Torah. Huge. And if you're done with Shas, there's many, many, many other things to do. Just look around our Mishnah. You're done, keep going. Don't wait till somebody tells you to do something. Just keep going. I know, you know, sometimes there's like a reaction, oh, done, good. You know, whatever, whatever's done over there. But I will say, it can't be like that. Yeshiva also has programs in it that it has built into our schedule. Mishnah said it very beautifully in the beginning of the year. The purpose of yeshiva is to do things as a ben Torah. It means to learn as a ben Torah. It means to take tefillin like a ben Torah and behave like a ben Torah. There's lots of stuff that yeshiva has for you guys to do, and actually I saw a very, very nice schedule that they have planned for you guys just for Shana Bet. It's very, very nice, both in terms of learning, in terms of Shurim, and also in terms of tefillin and things like that. You guys, as we'll speak about in a second, you guys should take advantage of it. And you should be role models about it, that, you know, I think, you know this year, sometimes guys kind of chose to do other things. You guys are setting the pace, and you should participate in it. If once in a while you want to miss a tefillin because you want to stay back and learn or grow, that's okay. But like, don't skip out on something that yeshiva has particularly planned for you guys because you want to be doing something else. It's something just to keep in mind. Which leads us right into the issue of leadership. You guys will set the pace next year. The year begins based on how you guys begin. Because the guys who are going to come in here are going to be clueless. I wish we should take pictures and videos of what you guys look like when you walk in. Like, are you like, what is this place? Right? And the next year, shout out, guys are going to walk in. They don't know how it's flying. It's going to be a crazy time. So, I think about the Shana Bet guys, you know, people like Ezra Blaine and people like Marbles and people like Benji Kreitman and many, many others. You know, they're setting the pace. And you see them, and you see them, you know, they're kind of like normal guys, and they're learning, and they're liking it, and they're consistent about coming to Minyan, and they're consistent about coming to Seder and to Shir. You guys are going to be doing that next year, and the Shana guys are going to be looking to you. It's your responsibility to set the pace. And if you set the pace properly, everyone else will do very well also. I remember years ago, Shana Bet was really very strong, and we started off that way. But if Shana Bet guys, they're missing, and they're not coming, that's the pace of the whole yeshiva. It's really your responsibility to be so. The relationship between Shanav and Shana Bet, as you'll see later, is going to be a relatively complicated one, but it's also it's beneficial for everyone. On one hand, it'll be good for Shana Aleph guys, because they'll have Shana Bet to look to. Because, you know, for all the role models in the world, in terms of the Rebbeim, bottom line is, you guys are the best role models. Because when somebody looks at Rabbi David, chances are not saying, well, I could be like that. I mean, it's the gap is too big. But then also for most of the Rebbeim, it's very hard to be able to say, I'm going to be like him. You know, there's, I heard in graduate school, a very, very important point. If you want to teach someone something, and you want to have a shpal on someone, there has to be three things. They have to like you, they have to respect you, and they have to identify with you. If they don't like you, they think you're like just a bad person. It's very hard to make a cabalet with just like that. They have to respect you, they think you're a nice guy, but you're just, you're a lightweight. It's very hard to be macabre from that. But also, the question of identification. You may really like a guy a lot. You may actually respect the guy a lot, but you say, like, what does it have to do with me? So in many ways, Shana Bet creates identification because the guy can say, you know what, I really like the way that this guy, you know, what he has done, what he's doing right now. And that really kind of sets the bar for the guys much more than the Rebbeim can. And it's really your responsibility to do so. The Shana Aleph guys gain, but you guys also gain as well. And that is because one thing is to be makabel, but also you have to learn how to be a giver, and you have to be a leader. It's very, very good to gain leadership skills. And the next year, you guys are going to be leaders. You guys are going to ask you questions. You guys are going to help them out. And it's very good for you guys as well. And certainly it's very good for the yeshiva when we have this kind of cross-pollination where the Shana Aleph guys are learning from you, and you guys are teaching them. It's something that's beneficial for everyone. I had a professor in graduate school, the same professor who didn't know the answer. He was a grandfather of a Talmud of ours. Anybody guys remember Eliezer? Shana Bet guy?
Yeah.
So he was a grandfather. He's a very, very, he's a Talmud of Rav Huttner. and he was a very wise educator who had gained a tremendous amount from over the years. So he said, these are the three factors. I remember I had a chavrusa with a Shalabed guy when I was in Guskolo. I had like I learned like most of morning Seder with a Shalabed guy, who eventually became Rosh Hashiva's son-in-law, and I remember a tremendous, tremendous person. And we were discussing what really inspired him to Shana Aleph. And he said, hands down, one of the major factors was him looking up the Shana Aleph. And he looked at the Shana Aleph and said, wow, the guy really accomplished a lot. And therefore I'm going to push myself to do it as well. It's really up to you. And I'll tell you something else. Sometimes people think that, okay, a Seder, somebody was an amazing Shana Aleph guy, like really clearly a role model, but it's not Matt Kaczewski, Solomon, wasn't Josh Abrams thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm a good guy, but the bottom line is, Rabosa, it's dafka sometimes those people who have the most influence. Because, you know, somebody looks at Matt, okay, he's in the base special 3 o'clock in the morning. Because, again, there's no identification. Okay? So he's, Mike Cassell, he's asleep on the Stender, three nights, 3 o'clock in the morning, and Thursday and then never got into bed. But Daniel Kulik, he sleeps someplace in Yeshiva, nobody knows, on a couch somewhere on Thursday. But that's not in my dollar office. Okay? But bottom line is, it's sometime, you'll be surprised who will see you as kind of like, okay, I identify with that guy, I want to do what he does. You'll be surprised. It doesn't have to be, the top of the best, whatever. But it's a very, very chashuv thing. I think one of the things that Yeshiva tries to do, I think it's one of our major goals, is to really produce leaders of the Jewish community. And all of you guys, hopefully, one way or another, however it will be, you guys are going to be leaders. I think, and this year, at least in learning, was hard, because again, you were just starting out. But next year will be an opportunity for you guys to lead. And really, it's your responsibility. And if you want your year to be strong, set the pace. Again, if you guys start strong, it's coming to Minyan, guys. There's no more Minyan attendance that's like every other day. No such thing. You guys are Minyan. You guys have to come to Seder on time. Next year's schedule is going to be different, whatever. You have to work around it. You have to be here. You have to learn a full Seder. You have to come to share. You have to come to the activities. You have to behave in the Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash is not a refrigerator. Somebody comes, there's like bowls of cereal and eggs, there's been pastrami and sushi, and it's like I'm at a schwag sometime. No. There has to be certain behavior in the Beis Medrash. Again, you guys are going to be setting the pace. Whatever, electronics, whatever it is, you guys set the pace, it's really your responsibility. Just to summarize, and I'll leave it up for let you guys ask questions. I don't want to keep you too long, because I've heard lots of speeches already. We started out speaking about goals. You come, you get off the plane, you have goals already. The goals, and you're constantly reassessing your goals, how realistic they are, whether you're following through. You have to have goals. If you don't have goals, there's no way to test whether you're being successful or not. There's a great passage from Alice in Wonderland. Alice comes in, and she sees this huge cat, and Alice asks the cat, "Where should I go?" And the cat says, "Well, what are you trying to get to?" She says, "It doesn't really matter." And the cat says, "Well, it doesn't matter where you go." It doesn't matter where you go, because there's no destination, so it doesn't matter what you do. The moment you have to get somewhere, you have to have a certain path. So you have to figure out what your goals are. It's very, very important. That's number one. Number two, you have to fight for the relationship with the Rebbe, Shalabed Rebbe, Shalalef Rebbe. If you have a close connection with Rav Schneider, he's going to be focusing on his guys for next year. You've got to grab him for a chavrusa, like bug him about it, get a chavrusa, whatever other Rebbe. The focus is going to be another guy's, but bottom line, you have to grab that Rebbe, you have to keep up a kesher, you have to gain whatever you can gain from him. Summer, you have to bring your summer walk. You're going to have a very, very hard time if you don't use a summer walk. Again, it doesn't have to be crazy, but it has to be used that every day you're learning, you're coming here, that you're ready to go. By the way, it could be a few days before you come, learn less, because you should come wanting to learn, not, okay, I'm so tired of learning. My father told me a very good episode for speakers, and I tested this. This is so amazing. If let's say you have a speech, it's supposed to be over at 5 o'clock. You finish at 5:01. At 5 o'clock, no one is listening to you anymore. It's supposed to be over at 5 o'clock. It's over. It's done. And if you finish 1 or 2 minutes early, people are like, "Oh, good, yeah, it's interesting. I tried this once. I finished a class 1 minute late. And 3 seconds later, everyone was out. One time I finished a class 2 minutes early, I had 25 minutes of questions. Went way over the time. Because a lot of people feel like, whoa, there's more time, so let me ask questions. But if you're running like a little bit late,
when is he going to finish already? That's terrible.
So this is like your summer. It's funny, like, you know, if you really start learning really, really, really hard before you come, really, really, really hard, and you get burned out, you come like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this, I'm so tired. Lay back a little bit, not too much, but lay back a little bit. You come like you want to learn more. But nevertheless, the whole summer has to be a responsibility. You have to be using your head. You have to be ready to come. Again, count the days, guys. It's so short. Half a year is nothing. But you already appreciate that the year is very, very short. Somebody said in Shir today, Josh Hillman, said he was by one of the Gedolim, like an old guy, like about 100 years old. So he's sitting there, the little guy's stroking his tie. He says, "You like my tie? I have a good tie." It's a really nice tie. And everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, totally senile." So he says, "You like your tie?" "I really like your tie." He says, "If I ever lose this tie, I'll get myself another tie. But at any moment that I lose, I'll never get back again." It's not replaceable. So Shana Bet, it's not replaceable, not just because learning time is not replaceable, because you're actually, Shana Bet is a very interesting thing. There's a medrash. You know, everyone wants to know, why do we make a party when we make a seal? Why do we make a party? So there's many, many answers to that question. One of them, they bring a medrash, Shlomo HaMelech asked for wisdom, but in a dream. And God gave him wisdom, so Shlomo HaMelech wakes up, and he hears a bird chirping and a donkey braying, and he understands what they're saying, and he makes a party. And there, we learn we have to make a party when we make a seal. Not kesher b'chol. So the Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, said, I'll tell you why. You know what Shlomo HaMelech was happy about? Is because he heard what he heard before, but now he understood it. The reason we celebrate the seal is not because we finish, because once we begin, now we're talking about it. Imagine for a second, it was a little bit hard to imagine, but imagine next year we'd learn Gittin again. Okay, a little bit burned out from Gittin, but can you imagine now you'd actually read based on what all, I'm sure in the Blitz, you appreciate this, you go back to review. Oh, that's what it means. Okay, I don't know what B'chol was flying before. Like, now I understand, once you finish, now you're able to learn. So Shana Bet is like that. So you guys came in Shana Aleph, and for the most part clueless what was going on. Because I Shana Bet, you know what you're doing now. You have half a year to a year to actually do what you're doing and actually know what you're doing. But time flies. You have to be so, so focused. So we spoke about independence. You have to be independent. Don't worry for doing fulfilling stuff. Take initiative. Take responsibility. You know, that means, you know, turn up the intensity. Do more if you have more time. One of the things, I think, option for next year, you have options to give chaburas. And at the end of the year, I had some of my guys give chaburas. You research, you learn how to research, you learn how to put the sugya together, and you learn how to present. It's like an awesome skill to get, to be able to put together a chabura and present it. So take all the opportunities in order to make the most of it. And finally, again, you guys are leaders next year, and really what happens in yeshiva largely will depend on what you guys do. Well, I finished based on my own hashtafas 5 minutes early. If there's any other questions you have, hopefully not 25 minutes worth. But if there's any questions that you have, I'm happy to answer them now, happy to answer them later. But most importantly, if you ask me the questions, you don't have to ask me the question. You should ask yourself the question, and the rabbi that you're close to, you should ask, you know, how do I maximize the year? And I'll tell you, there are guys who, you know, who are amazing kind of that. And there are guys who came, maybe they forgot why they were here. They forgot to make the goals. And they floated. Yeah, Isaac.
Is there a general suggestion as to what to focus on and that you're
I think it very much depends on what you want to accomplish. Obviously, part of it in this issue has to be something about learning Gemara. So you have to figure out where you're holding and what is it you want to accomplish. Again, guys, all of life is a very, very simple equation. Where am I? Where am I trying to go? And how do I get there? If you juggle those three balls successfully, you'll do very nicely. Where am I? Where I'm trying to go? How do I get there? So you have to ask, where am I in terms of the skill? Where would I like to be in terms of that skill? And how do I get there? And, you know, really use the resources of the yeshiva, because you now know what you want much more than you did a year ago. So you have to ask yourself, what do I want to accomplish in this area? What do I want to accomplish in Tanakh, or in Machshava, or in whatever? Each person is going to come away with his own goal. It's going to be unique for them. Yeah?
In terms of being leaders in the town and that sort of thing, if we want to really affect them and sort of help them grow, then what's the best way of going about it? We can't start out just by shoving it down their throat and stuff, so we can't, we don't want to
You guys know already who this year, but you know your whole life. Anybody who tries to force something upon you, there's a certain psychological mechanism that we have. It's called fight or flight. When somebody, when somebody's coming at me in a dark alley, I have two options. I can either, I feel threatened, my life is threatened, therefore I'm either going to fight them or going to run away from them. That's not only true for physical safety, but also true for psychological safety. When I feel there's someone who's trying to change who I am, it's almost the same thing as trying to kill me. My psychological space is being intruded, and I'm going to fight against that person, whoever that person is. Now, I mentioned to you guys in the shmooze, the difference between a parent and a coach. The reason why we're so receptive to coaches and not receptive to parents is because we feel that we and the coaches are trying to do the same thing. And we sometimes feel that the parents, they're not trying to do the same thing. Again, wrongfully, but that's how teenagers feel. So I think, to try to start telling people what to do is a very, very complicated thing, and chances are it's not going to be received, certainly in the beginning. I really think it's just doing the right thing. If they see a guy who's really great, he plays ball, and he's normal, he's not like some cuckoo head, he's like doing crazy stuff, but at the same time he's a good guy, he's behaving like a Ben Torah, he's learning, and he's behaving appropriately. I think just that nekuda is going to create that relationship. I think as you form the bond, you form the kesher, again, all the thing about your relationship with the rabbi, in the beginning, we couldn't tell you anything without you guys like running out and telling us that we are trying to brainwash or something. But at some point, you create a kesher, create a friendship, and now, okay, I can tell the guy, you're being a bum. Yeah, and the guy will be much more receptive to that because he knows, who I am, I know who he is, and he knows that I'm speaking out of love. And it's going to be much easier. But I think, certainly in the very beginning, I think just much more of behaving properly yourself. There was once a non-Jewish thinker said something very profound, that if everyone tries to change the world, become the perfect citizen of your world, meaning you yourself become the perfect citizen, and then someone else will become the perfect citizen of the world as well. So if you work on yourself and try to, build yourself up, on one hand, at the same time, you learn Musar Seder with the guys, you play ball, I tell you, people play ball with the guys, it's a chiddush. That somebody doesn't curse after a missed shot. It's a chiddush, guys. It's a chiddush, okay? That, Derek Heretz on the phone, they say Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was an amazing ball player. I never played against him, but Kach Shemot. But one of the things about Lichtenstein is that on the floor he had Derek Heretz. That means never insulting anyone, make sure that everyone always touched the ball. He was a good player, but to make sure that, everyone was involved. There's a certain derech eretz about how people play ball, and derech eretz how people eat, not pushing people to the side, giving my food. Just so when people see you behave a certain way, that in itself is much the greatest ability that you have. At the same time, you talk to the guys, you learn with the guys, and as the year goes on, you can be much more straight and direct with each other. So that's Maron's Bikitsur, but my take on the whole thing is. Yeah.
So when you say monitoring your goal,
you should ask yourself why you're not reaching it. It could be that the goal is just beyond you. It's just, it could be that it's not a realistic goal. Or you're not committed enough. Or you're not approached the goal correctly. Maybe you need a different algorithm of how to reach that goal. Maybe, you just have to, my goal is to consistently get up for chakras. And I'm not getting up. So maybe the problem is you're not going to bed in time. Or maybe you need somebody to drag you out of bed. You have to ask yourself, what is necessary for me to reach the goal? Maybe you should. If you really think that it's beyond you, you should drop it. But you have to ask yourself whether that's true or not. Yeah?
Thank you.
So let me give an answer, and I'll give an answer, and then I'll modify the answer. Shana bet and dating, I mean like dating before you get married, are selfish affairs. So it's interesting, marriage is a selfless affair. Dating is a selfish affair. What I mean by that is that when you're married, you have to be a giver. When your wife wants, you should try to give it to her. But when you're dating, you don't marry somebody out of chesed. It's, oh, this girl never... I should do chesed with her. Nobody else will. She's such a messed up person. I'm going to be a baal chesed. It's selfish in the sense that you have to say, okay, is this girl good for me? Am I good for her? I'm going to make a good marriage. It has to be like, there's some selfishness. And Shana Bet, there has to be some level of selfishness. And that is, you know, I could love Shana Aleph guys, and it's really great for them, but it's not good for me. I'll tell you very honestly, I spoke to one or two Shana Bet boys, and they told me a fascinating thing. They said that the Tehillim in this yeshiva are Shana Aleph oriented. Because Shana Aleph guys, especially from the beginning, cannot sit for a week straight. So one of the guys particularly told me, you know, it's frustrating, a Shana Bet guy, you know, learn, break. Learn, break. Like, you get into it, teal. Get into it, teal. Get into it, pack sandwiches. Get into it, it's like distraction. So every Shana Bet guy's going to figure out what to do with that. But, you know, to give a more nuanced answer to your question, it really depends on you. There are certain people who really, really need to focus on themselves. And that's what's good for them. And for them to give away too much of their time will be actively bad for them. But there are some people, they gain tremendous amount when they give. So therefore, you know, it could be for these people, it'd be good to give more. But you guys are not slaves to the yeshiva to help us influence or impact on all of guys. The ikar part is you guys. You guys are paying money, and you guys are here to learn. You do not need to do anything for the sake of Shana Aleph guys that jeopardizes your own growth. So to answer your question, is the ikar focus is you. You have to do what's good for you. But at the same time, it's not a stira. Sometimes lahapa, it really goes well hand in hand in terms of your own growth by giving to the Shana Aleph guys. And every person has to find that balance. Some people really flower when they give to other people, do not. So you have to ask yourself, what you do. Rabosai, thank you so much for coming. If you have any questions, ask your Rabbein. And I hope you have a great summer.
Thank you.
Who's this guy, you know? Oh.